Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you along for the ride. Happy Wednesday, my Friday. Out tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, Carlos with a K will be joining you. He'll be hosting from 9 to 11. At 11, we will kick it over to a very special edition of Offsides with Mark Ryan, as he will take you up to pregame of the Furman Paladins taking on the Virginia Cavaliers in an opening round matchup of the 2023 NCAA March Madness Tournament. You will be able to hear that game and many more right here on the Fan Upstate. So Carlos with a K with you for tomorrow from 9 to 11. Mark Ryan will take you 11 to 12 up to pregame. Then we'll kick it over to Dan Scott in the gang to talk a little Furman shooty hoops. Then on Friday, Carlos with a K will join you for the full show 9 to noon. I'll be back on Monday. We are waiting on Dan Severn, scheduled to join us here. He will be joining us here, hopefully, fingers crossed, in just a moment on the stream. We are working, efforting, getting him in here. And as soon as we get him, there we go. There we go. Let's go now. Let's welcome into the show an absolute legend in the MMA game. He is a NWA Hall of Famer. He is Dan Severn joining us here on the show in preparation for SC Comic Con coming up just a couple of weeks right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Dan, welcome to the show, young man. How you doing?
Well, it sounds like you're about two cups of coffee ahead of me right now.
About 3.5 monsters deep this early, Dan. I'm not a morning guy.
Okay, yeah, well, I always tell people that I'm not a morning person either. I'll be up and I'll be functioning, but don't try to engage me in any kind of true conversation. There is no depth to me whatsoever at this point.
I am the same way, and yet still ended up with a morning radio show, Dan. I just make it up as I go, buddy. Dan Severn joins us here on the Rob Brown Show with Rob and Lonzo. And I will open with this, Dan. Lonzo and I both, big con guys. We love these events. We love the opportunity to get to talk with actors and actresses we've seen since our childhood, people who help build culture. And as both big MMA and professional wrestling fans, when we get names like Dan Severn showing up at these events, they're opportunities for fans to engage with artists and athletes like yourself who presented these things that we love so much. What do these cons mean for you to be able to get out there and interact with fans and kind of promote the sports that made Dan Severn, Dan Severn?
Well, I mean, I look at it a lot of different ways. I mean, first off, I mean, most people will be kind of taken back because if they saw of me, and then when they finally meet me, they're like going, a lot of times, like, are you on drugs? they keep you so mellowed out here right now. They're like, because they can't believe how nice and how calm I am of the demeanor, and yet they have seen me in the cage for the Ultimate Fighting Championships, and you name the organization when when No Holds Barred first broke, I mean, I worked for anybody and everybody at that point in time. And I mean, you know, when you look at some of the breaking points, I mean, the sheer fact is there's only 4 men in the world to have over 100 cage fights. I'm one of those four. There's only 3 men to have over 100 victories. I'm one of the three. But the ironic part is I faced the other three. I defeated the other three. Closest one to my age is 12 years my junior, the closest one. And then when you look at the fact that I've only done 2 training camps, 2 in a 20-year career. And then slap on the aspect of being lifetime chemical free. When you talk about just the one industry of professional wrestling, that's almost like taboo. But then throw that into, again, the No Holds Barred era, because there were a lot of athletes that were utilizing at that point. Then you look at an organization where you had Pride, for example. They literally wanted to have Godzilla versus Mothra back in the day. So, you know, I was quite an anomaly in a couple different industries.
You know, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and the high school I went to, wrestling was it. So if you got your name up on the board and you were going to be one of the guys, you were it in high school. What was it like bringing wrestling into mixed martial arts, and how long did it take for the other guys to adjust to that style?
Well, Lonzo, let me touch on one thing, because some of your listeners may not understand that. But when you said that comment about getting your name up on that board, that was huge. Like in my high school, there we had all these different, like most takedowns in a season, most pins in a season, this, that. But there was like a title, and there's boards that the shop teacher just rounded on out and did on it. But that was a big deal to get your name up on the wall. That was like the Hall of Fame before there ever was a Hall of Fame was in your high school. Can I get my name up on that wall? And that's all I remember as my freshman year, being in that room and looking around and go, can I get my name up there? But okay, now getting back to what you asked of me, what was the question originally? I kind of digressed and went off into a different rabbit here.
No, it's okay, because I Rob didn't wrestle, so he doesn't. I'm not saying you just don't get it, Rob, but he doesn't get it. I mean, it really was a big deal to be up on that wall. But you
there's a fraternity amongst amateur wrestlers. There's a brotherhood like no other. When I meet another fellow wrestler, there's a bond right there and there, because there is no other sport. When you go into a practice room where you slap hands and then you go like mad dogs after each other, and then when the session comes in, slap hands again, good to go.
Yeah,
there's no other sport like it. And it I still have, even to this day, I have friendships that I had from my high school years that will last forever.
Yeah, I'm not as old as you, but I'm 54. I still remember the names of almost everybody I wrestled, all the guys that were on the team with me. My son, brought him to South Carolina. He wrestled, did really, really well, was like ranked 4th in the United States in wins at one point. And that's as close as I ever got to, I mean, you get in there and you watch wrestling, and if you've never done it, you just don't know what it feels like. It's an amazing thing. So my question was, what was it like to bring wrestling into mixed martial arts, and how long did it take those guys to adjust to that style?
Okay, I had to start by actually telling you a funny story then. My first UFC, I was able to get in. I don't know. You got to educate the folks that are watching. Pay-per-views were not as prevalent back then as they are today. Back then, a pay-per-view, you had to go to a local movie theater in a big populated type of a city. Today, you watch it from the comfort of your, sorry about that. You watch it from the comfort of your cell phone. So again, you know, just to educate people, because again, the younger people are like, oh, that sounds so primitive, so medieval, but that was the way that opportunities present themselves. So when I go to my very first UFC, as I'm up at the registration desk, they've got 2 gals that are basically writing down all the information. My sensation was these Neanderthals that they're interviewing don't know how to write in the first place. So they're going to simply just ask you questions and they will legibly write things out for you. So they're asking you basically your name, your date, and you know, place of birth, and you know, where do you hail from? And then they asked me the question, so what is your fighting style? And I had never been asked that question before. So I paused for a moment and I go, I'm an amateur wrestler. Well, they had never heard that response before. And the gal that's writing down the information, she kind of looks left and right, and then she kind of leans on in. She goes, what exactly does that do? So I kind of mocked her. I kind of looked left and right, and I leaned on in. I go, you might want to watch. I'm kind of making this up as I go. And literally, she starts laughing like at me like she's on candy camera. Where's the hidden camera? And I mean, literally, I only trained for 5 days, an hour and a half a day. I trained over in Lima, Ohio with Al Snow, professional wrestling trainer slash a talent, Al Snow. And I mean, because a professional wrestling ring was the only thing that I could find that had some kind of a confinement. And they had one old pair of boxing gloves. And most of the time they were arguing amongst each other who had to go against me. I never threw a single punch. They would simply try to punch. I would parry. I would clinch. And then I went into wrestling mode. I would throw them around. And then I would slap on amateur wrestling techniques. Now, again, Rob, Lonzo will understand this. Amateur wrestling is basically, it's legalized pain. You're doing wrestling techniques that literally doesn't feel good. Ultimately, you want to pin your opponent. You want to put them on the back and you'll pin them against their will. So when you're throwing on chicken wings and cross faces and cradles, stuff like this, none of this stuff feels good. It's not like you're out there going, coo-chi-coo-chi-coo, and they're going to roll over on the back and you pin them. No, you are imposing against their will legalized pain. So that's all I did with all those guys. I simply slapped on amateur wrestling techniques and it's like going, but turn them illegal. And we're good to go. That was my training camp. 5 days, hour and a half. I wish I had some kind of video footage from that time era, because people would look at that as pure gold. Because, again, never learned a single strike, never learned a single submission, and here I am in UFC number 4 and the 8-man tournament where you had to finish off 3 men and a 2-hour pay-per-view, the same 2-hour pay-per-view that lasts today.
Dan the Beast Severn joining us here on the show. 101-19-7 record, 23 knockouts, 24 decisions, and 54 submissions. And I wanted to kind of, before we get to the professional wrestling angle, ask you about the evolution of UFC from where it was then to where it is now, because you talk about an hour and a half in a wrestling ring, didn't learn strikes, just kind of made it up as you go, versus now where these guys are living minute to minute, every single calorie they eat, every single nutrient they take. I mean, all of it is scientifically calculated. Yes. Do you think that it has made professional fighting better, worse, just different in general? When you watch UFC now, when you watch MMA now, how do you feel about the level of intensity these guys put into the training versus back when it was 4 and you might have 2 or 3 fights in the same night through a tournament?
Well, I mean, yeah, it has gone on to a whole different plateau. I mean, men and women are going into training camps for 6 to 8 months out. And I mean, literally to the point that they have their own personal chef that's making all their specialized meals so they can get down to that weight class. It is quite a science. When I watch an event now, I really question some of their coaches, because the sport has evolved in some aspects and in some other aspects they have not. As I always tell people, I was a one trick pony when I went into it. I was just a wrestler, but my mindset was simply this. If you're the striker, because that's what the two categories, grapplers or strikers. As a striker, you have to be within arm's reach in order to punch me. Legs, range to kick, knee, elbow. I was always good about slightly staying outside of range. And the moment that whether you threw something, you're going to throw and you're going to recoil back. Or if I threw something, as I threw something, came forward and shortened that distance. The moment that you threw out, you are now within arm's reach, legs reach, or whatever. And I was good about closing that distance quickly to get to a standing clinch or a takedown or jam them up against the cage wall, which is now known as close quarter combatives. I really question a lot of these coaches that they're working with them about what they're teaching. The night that, again, we're going back a couple of years here, but Conor McGregor ended up fighting Cowboy Cerrone. And they end up getting into a clinch, and Conor McGregor punches Cowboy Cerrone with the shoulder, breaking his nose, making him bleed from the nose. The moment that happened, my cell phone exploded. I had all these people contact me like, oh, that's twice now. That's twice now I picked it up.
And, popular guy over here.
Sorry about that. I'm just going to turn the volume right down, and we will do away with that. But when it happened, like I said, my phone exploded, and I had all these people saying, did Conor McGregor finally take a seminar from you? And I go, no. I said, had he done it, he would have followed up with this, and be like, oh, yeah, you're right. He sucks. Okay. So, I've been teaching close quarter combat because literally when I went to my first UFC, I gave a great deal of thought. I'm just a wrestler. I'm never going to win this. I've got, again, I started my career at 37 inside this cage. I started my amateur wrestling career back in seventh grade, 1969. So when you look at these, were never going to catch up to my grappling ability, you know, but as long as I can keep them up to where I could deflect and block a couple things just to get to that clinch, I'm good to go. Because once you get to that clinch, takedown, or jammed up against the cage wall, from a striker's perspective, you've nullified 90%+ of their arsenal. When you look at boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, they get in these clinches all the time. Their referee spends more time separating the two athletes than they actually do banging on each other. But my whole aspect was, I will get this clinch, though, that my skill set is just commencing. And look at, it's one of the most simple things, because basically you take people on down and they all want to pull guard. Guard this. This is called Donkey Kong, whack-a-mole. You know, ground and pound was born. Very, very easy, very barbaric, but oh so effective. All you got to do is ball up your fist, much like a club, and start to bludgeon your opponent somewhere around that head, neck, and chest region. And, you know, if you do it effectively enough, you know, the match will be halted at that point. But there are still things that I do even now. I still don't see any of these athletes doing it. I'm like going, who is your coach?
All right. So speaking of bludgeoning, I was watching some old matches last night. I didn't know that this was allowed back in early UFC. We've heard tell by a lot of people that when you, especially in professional wrestling, when you give a headbutt, you should sell it. I saw a match where you were giving headbutts, but it didn't look like it hurt you nearly as bad as it hurt the person who was receiving. So does it hurt to give successive headbutts like what I saw on a match last night?
Well, the match you're probably referring to, Oleg Titarov, the Russian Bear. Again, my background as an amateur wrestler, not just my amateur wrestling background is folk style wrestling, which is only inside the United States. We're the only country that does folk style. It's what we do in our junior high, our high school, and on a collegiate level. The rest of the world does freestyle and Greco-Roman. Those are the two styles that are done at the world championships every year and every 4 years at the Olympic Games. So by the time your collegiate career comes to an end, you're basically 21, 22, and you now only have one opportunity. You've been doing folk style all your life, and now your only chance to represent the United States is freestyle or Greco. So that's why the United States is at a deficit every time when we're looking at Olympic Games or the World Championships, because now 21, 22, and they've been doing it since, whatever, 3 or 4 years of age that they've been doing. Like the Russians, they teach them how to throw first, because it's their children. And they simply know that if they can make it fun and like a game being thrown onto these crash pads, stuff like that, it's just a game to them. But the Russians are the best technicians in the world, hands down. And I knew that going out on the mat, I'm going to have to half kill a man in order to beat him. And actually, I've gone up against Oleg twice, and I basically half killed him both times. First time dropping knees, and that was the first time I think anyone ever saw a person was standing, dropping a knee on a person in the prone position, which is illegal today. Again, as the rules have changed. But again, that's the difference between the hose barred and what mixed martial arts is. And then in my match against Oleg on the second time, I delivered well over 300 headbutts in a 30-minute match. Literally, I was delivering a headbutt every minute. But how do you practice a headbutt? You say, hey, Rob, hey, Lonzo, hey, how does this one feel? No, you don't practice with live people. My three most reliable workout partners when I was working out, I have a throwing dummy, I have a heavy bag, and I had a wall-mounted takedown machine. And I use these three pieces of equipment in ways that I guarantee no other person has ever used these pieces of equipment. And the pros are, they were always on time. They never complained. So, and I would do things to them that I hope I never had to do to another person. But I had already prepared myself. And again, going against Oleg, I'm going to have kill a man in the process. And literally after that match with those 300 headbutts, they literally, within a few minutes after the match was done, his skull started to swollen up. They had to rush him to the hospital. I took 2 ibuprofen. I was good to go.
Dan the Beast Severn telling you exactly how he earned the nickname. All right, let's flip Dan for just a couple of minutes here, if you don't mind, to professional wrestling. You're a 2-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion and NWA Hall of Famer. Obviously spent some time with the then WWF as well. 1998 King of the Ring Tournament semifinalist, where you were knocked out by a young man that would go on to become The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. But obviously, the story that I'm sure you get a lot of questions, and most questions about, would be your departure. And we have seen over the years this kind of interesting, especially the last couple of years, this interesting perspective where it kind of feels like wrestlers are beginning to want more control over their characters, their storylines. And certainly that dates back, and it's always been that way. But now we're starting to see guys like, for instance, Bray Wyatt right now in the WWE, where there's this... They want the control. Obviously, you had your story about the reason that you left over creative differences, et cetera. What is your view on the way that professional wrestling looks today versus in the 90s when you were at the top of that game?
Well, I wish I would have understood the industry a little bit more. I think I would have put in a little bit more input as to how I would like my character to have been. When they simply just pitched me the nutty idea of putting 666 on my forehead and becoming a disciple of this whole darkness type thing, I'm just like, oh, no, time out, not going to happen. I live in a small town, USA. I go, I'm not going to have any repercussions against my family, nor against my businesses, nor against me. So, because you'd be surprised how many people actually buy into these things. So, I'll just say that we just had an amicable parting of the ways. I mean, I just basically just, honored up whatever matches I had to do. And that was about it. But I was, I had a very creative contract in the fact that I had no limitations. I could work for anybody because I was working for the National Wrestling Alliance in the first place. And then the National Wrestling Alliance was trying to put me underneath an exclusivity. I go, what if I have an opportunity on a weekend and you guys don't need me? I said, I should be able to work and stuff like that. And well, no, we really want a controller. I go, well, I can't sign that. But I go, but I was not a normal type of professional wrestler that they had probably ever used before. Coming from that amateur wrestling background, I had a great deal of honor in what I was doing. I'm not going to simply do the job for Doink the Clown. I always use that kind of as an example. I'm not going to lose to Doink the Clown, okay? I'm going to protect myself and those type of aspects. But you do see some of the most craziest things happen in the sport of professional wrestling. It's an entertainment sport, and they're highly skilled athletes. Because when you look at all these athletic maneuvers that they're doing, and they don't have a safety net, that's tough. I mean, even the expression of taking a bump, of being picked up and being bodily slammed, or just being punched and taking your own bump, that's most professional wrestlers don't even realize that they're doing the most basic fundamentals of martial arts break falling. And more professional wrestlers really need to take a class in that because their careers are cut short because they do take some outlandish falls. So I know I kind of went on your question here just a little bit. You know, I always tell people I'm kind of an educator to people. I want them to understand a little bit more about which each one of these industries are like and the perils that a lot of these wrestlers face. Because there's also jealousy. Why should you win and not me? Why do you get the push and not me? And so maybe there's that big high dive. You've been thrown out of the ring, and now there's this big high dive that's going to take place. But all of a sudden, you slip, you fall down, and you come up short, and all of a sudden, he splat, hits the concrete. Oh, sorry. But I've actually witnessed this, and I've seen jealousy to where now you're gone. And I move up another rung because you got to look at with success in that there's money.
Sure.
You move up. There is a pecking order in that. So that's, you know, again, I kind of digress with a couple of ways, but I really want people to kind of understand there's a dark side to professional wrestling as there's a positive side, but you know, all industries have their pros and cons. Sure.
Dan Severn, join us on the show, last one, and then we'll let you know, go, Dan, because I know you got a lot going on. We saw, when you entered, we saw Ken Shamrock enter. We've seen the Blackwells of the world. But now, it's almost like professional wrestling, as it has kind of, with social media, et cetera, the kayfabe element has kind of started to be pulled back a little bit. And now you're seeing guys like Bobby Lashley. You're seeing guys like Brock Lesnar, a former UFC heavyweight champion, et cetera, that are not just moving over into wrestling, but they're kind of blurring that line between an MMA or turned professional wrestler. They're utilizing a lot of MMA tactics in the ring, et cetera. You were kind of at the beginning of the genesis of that movement. How much are you pro or con? Are you in favor of UFC MMA type tactics kind of being sold in professional wrestling to make guys like Brock and Bobby Lashley look like these beasts when they move over into that world?
No, I mean, it's the progression of professional wrestling. I knew darn well that, you know, that more and more athletes have been moving in there. And I'm trying to think of the recent last year NCAA heavyweight champion that just moved over as well from amateur wrestling.
Stevenson.
Yes. So, again, there's if you've got the size, the thing that, you know, I mean, Vince always was someone that was always looking for these big monsters. He always wanted to have, you know, like having the big show and stuff like that in it. He always wanted to have, you know, the giant. So to take some people, athletes from other disciplines and be able to move them in, I mean, you got, look at Ronda Rousey. She had to run for a while there. Again, she was the armbar queen in mixed martial arts, and she, you know, was a perfect heel for going into professional wrestling. Yeah. So again, there will always be that mixture. You've had a lot of other people that have been at various events. Pete Rose, for example. Look at when they brought back people like Pete Rose and other people that they brought back from other industries, just to, I think, to help cross over to different audiences.
Dan the Beast Severn joining us here on the show. He is a UFC Triple Crown champion, ended his MMA career with 101 wins, 19-7, the full record, 23 KOs, 24 decisions, 54 submissions, a two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion and NWA Hall of Famer. And by the way, and we'll have you maybe during Comic-Con, we'll get to talk to you again. I want some stories of the Sun-Kissed Kids when we get a ticket to talk about that. He will be live at South Carolina Comic-Con April 15th and 16th, just a month away. You can go to SC Comic-Con and get your tickets now. Dan Severn, an honor to talk to you, buddy. So glad to have you on the show, and we will see you in mid-April, my man.
Thank you, gentlemen, there for having me this morning. If anyone else wants to get in contact with me, just simply go to my website, dansevern.com.
There you go. Get it hooked up. Dan, we'll talk to you at Comic-Con, man. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, Have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you very much, sir. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Dan Severn, the Beast. What a talk, man.
Yeah, we got to go to break, but we got stuff to talk about. We'll get back. We got to.
I don't want to. I would love to just stay here, but we do have to take a break. We'll recap some of that and get you some more sports talk down the line on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, I love sports, dude. I love sports. And one of my favorite things in sports, and this is Rob Brown being as sincere as I can be, one of my favorite things in sports, without a doubt, is watching people connect over specifically shared memories and nostalgia of their sport, right? There was a moment towards the beginning of that interview where Lonzo threw out something as just part of a question, right? He talked about the fact that when you went into wrestling rooms, that there were boards up there, and you got your name up on the board for most takedowns in a season or most matches won or whatever that might have been. And when Lonzo dropped that in the midst of a question, Dan Severn's eyes got about as big as a dinner plate because that connection was there. To watch that moment between Zoe and Dan Severn, a pair of old amateur wrestlers who got for just a minute to flash back to the days. Man, there's just something so damn cool about moments like that created by sport. And to have a legend like Dan Severn share that moment with Zoe, one of the very few times that Rob Brown's got no problem shutting the hell up and letting it happen. Yeah, that was phenomenal.
I was not expecting that, and I should have. Because I know, I mean, it's just, it's a weird recognition in your high school, but having your name up there, especially if you're known for a wrestling school, it's like our school was not very good at football or any other sport, but wrestling, that's what we were known for. And if you got your name up there, it was so cool. And just to see the look on his face, it was It was awesome.
Yeah. Again, like we had, in fact, a couple of days ago at the Greenville Drive game, right? Or actually, excuse me, it was the South Carolina versus SC Upstate game. So for those of you who don't know, I'm one of the two on the field MCs for the Greenville Drive, and they had me working that game. And we went into the tunnel, and in the back there is a batting cage, right? And me and one of the kids that works for the team went back there, and the batting cage was set with a big bucket of balls, right? So that the pitching coach could throw in there and just throw BP to the guys to get some swings in before the game starts. And I walked back there, walked into the cage, and picked up one of the balls. And there's it's a batting cage. There's a home plate and a batter's box in there. And as I sat back there, in walked a dad and his kid, who was probably like 12 or 13 years old. And I guess the kid's training to be a pitcher. And the dad's talking to him about, today I want you to watch this. I want you to watch when the pitcher does this. I want you to watch where his foot is on the rubber, right? Like you can get a tip of coming inside or outside. Is his foot on the rubber by the third base side, on the first base side, in the middle of the rubber, blah, blah, blah. And the kid asked about, where do you put your foot to throw the right breaking ball, right? The dad's like, well, if you want to throw it over here, do it here. If you want it to cut from way outside, if you want to back the guy off the plate with the breaking ball, try to catch the edge, go on the third base side. And I just watched these guys connect, and you could tell that it was a dad who used to hurl, passing on what he had learned to a kid who was coming into that age. And it was just this kick-ass moment to see, created by sports, right? It was a bonding moment created by sports. Lonzo and I were kind of laughing before we came on the air, because both of us, in doing prep for that interview, spent some time going back and watching some of Dan Severn's old MMA fights, his time at NWA and WWF. You can find clips of this on YouTube. Spent some time watching this, and of course, I ended up finding Dan Severn's podcast, which I listened to a few segments. And realistically speaking, Dan Severn and I don't have a lot in common.
Which was a concern for me.
Yeah.
After I saw it, it's like, okay, how's this going to go? But
Have a lot in common. Probably aren't going to agree on a whole hell of a lot.
You do have in common.
We love the game.
Yes.
Love the game. And that's it. Like, I could have sat there. I could have genuinely taken that interview all 3 hours. We could have done an entire 3-hour show with Dan Severn, and I never would have run out of stuff to ask about, talk about, get his thoughts on, whether it's MMA or pro wrestling. I could have done that interview for 3 hours, no problem. And it is solely and strictly because of love of the sport, love of the game, love of the competition. And even though I never wrestled, I've never been punched in the face, I've never so much been in a fight in my life, right? Don't care. Love the sport, love the game, love the competition, love what it is, love what it means. And you can't have that bonding moment without sport. Again, he and I wouldn't agree on probably much at all in the world, but then we talk sports, and that conversation could have gone 3 hours. So to see Zoe bring up the old wooden leaderboard and have Dan go, I remember my shop teacher taking a router and just carving your name into a piece of wood, and that was the highest honor you could achieve in wrestling at that point in time, to see them share that moment, man. How badass was that?
Yeah, I'm gonna be smiling the rest of the day and probably for a few days on that. That was really cool.
It was fantastic.
You know, and thinking back to that time in my life when I was wrestling, I never would have thought I would be able to talk to a guy like that who actually brought wrestling into MMA. That's cool. I can't wait to see him at South Carolina Comic-Con.
He brought wrestling into MMA, and then he brought MMA into wrestling.
Yeah.
Again, like, I'm not saying that we'd have never had a Brock Lesnar or a Bobby Lashley or any of these guys and gals, a Ronda Rousey, who make the bleed over from MMA into pro wrestling and then become larger than life characters. But without him, Shamrock and Blackwell, I don't know that that does or does not happen. Maybe they never decide that that's a good transition. That dude has a lot of legacy in both of those sports, both MMA and pro wrestling.
But you and I are both jealous of one thing for sure from him. Dude looks in shape for his age.
For his age, he looks in shape for my age.
Yeah, I want to be in that kind of shape when I reach. I got time to get there. You got more time than I do. To be in that kind of shape when I get to that age.
Have you tried headbutting a dude 300 times in 30 minutes?
I thought about it. I thought about it yesterday. So and the day's not over yet. I might think about it again today.
All right. Thanks again to Dan Severn. Thanks to Rob Young and Borderlands Comics for not just getting us in touch with Dan. We are working right now, by the way. Have had a conversation with AEW to try to get Jamie Hayter, Adam the Millennial Cowboy, Hangman Page, and the absolute Ricky Starks on the show all between here and Comic-Con. But thanks to Rob Young for putting on a killer event, too. I have gone 2 years in a row. This will be number three, and I wouldn't miss it.
I think I missed the very first one, but I've been to all the other ones. So, yeah, and it's grown every single year. You can buy tickets right now online, SouthCarolinaComicCon.com, or you can go to Borderlands Comics and Games, 410 South Pleasantburg Drive, and buy your passes there. It's well worth it. Not only can you see Dan Severn and the wrestlers that Rob just mentioned, but there are, if you've watched The Mandalorian, then you know the armorer from The Mandalorian. She's going to be there. There's going to be Kevin Eastman. If you are a comic book fan, if you're a Ninja Turtles fan, he's one of the guys who created the Ninja Turtles. He's going to be there. And plus, it's just fun to go and look around. And all these things that you cannot, that you buy online and you get them, and you're like, oh, man, this doesn't look like, well, you don't have that problem at South Carolina Comic Con. You can pick it up. You can look at it. You can see the quality of it and purchase it there. So you will see us there too. So
I'm not saying that I have not pitched a live session of Ray D&DO from somewhere at Comic-Con, but maybe. That's all I'll say.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think I'm good enough for that.
Maybe. We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, let's run to a break so we can get somewhat back on the clock. We'll come back here in just a minute, wrap up hour number two. Hour number three. That first segment is open for you, but I got to cram like four stories in there because I'm off tomorrow and Friday. Then we got Fight Club with Lonzo coming up at 11:20 since I won't be here tomorrow. Then we wrap it up with Twitter trending topics on the end of the show. Then I'm gone for 4 days. I'm sorry or you're welcome, whichever is more appropriate. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get back on it. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Trey said, will you guys do interviews like that when you start your wrestling podcast? Yeah, we're working on that. And by working on it, I mean have been talking about it for a while and just have to do it. That'll come soon. But yeah, we've got ins with WWE. We've got ins with AEW. We plan to start using those at some point. And we look forward to it. It's going to be great.
You know, the thing is about doing that podcast is, though, when we have wrestlers on, we break news. So
correct.
You only want to do that, you know, once or twice a year. You don't want to be known as the guys who break news like every single week. You know, that's just kind of pressure that we don't need.
Uh-oh. Adam Thielen is trending. Rappaport reporting that Adam Thielen is in Charlotte today, like now. Don't hate that. Yeah. Rashad said it too.
Yeah, he did.
I know.
Yeah.
Rashad said, don't let him leave Charlotte. Yeah.
I'm big on the Hurst thing because I think
that Hayden Hurst pickup is
I think Hurst has been really good wherever he's been. He's been on several different teams, and you don't notice that he's there till he starts catching the ball. I mean, for Cincinnati, Burrow's gonna miss him.
You know what's infuriating? By the way, speaking of tight ends, how about the Raiders sending Waller up to the Giants? What a move that was. And by move, I mean awful.
So have tight ends suddenly gone the way of running backs? They've been devalued, and they're all the same.
I don't understand how many great teams in today's game have a great tight end centered around them, right? Hell, what little success the Raiders had almost exclusively came when Darren Waller was on the football field. Lonzo, how important is Travis Kelce to Kansas City?
He is essential.
I would argue Travis Kelce is more important than anybody not named Patrick Mahomes on that team.
I would agree with you.
Honestly. I go back and I look at the Saints Super Bowl run. Who was the tight end? Jeremy Shockey. At his prime. Like almost every top tier team understands the value of having a pass catching tight end. Now, you want an elite caliber tight end that can not only catch passes but can block. Again, Travis Kelce is the mold. But my goodness, if you are going to have, maybe ever before, if you are going to have a brand new quarterback, right? If you're going to have a brand new quarterback, a guy stepping in for the first year as a rook and plug him in, you better have a number one and you better have a great tight end, man.
You know what else? He didn't mention this. He's a Gamecock.
He is a Gamecock. That is correct.
Want to throw that out there.
As Shane would say, welcome home. Top tight ends in the league right now, top of your head. I'm going Kelce 1.
Kittle
2. I'm going to go Darren Waller 3. I think you'd have to do well. I'm going to go can I put Kyle Pitts as a tight end? I mean, he might be too versatile because he can play the slot too. Kyle Pitts? Mark Andrews? Gets a nod. Who am I leaving off? There's got to be more, right? Joey B said, because there's 3 to 4 truly elite tight ends and then 28 other guys who are almost totally interchangeable. Who am I missing? I'm trying to think who else goes on that list next. Dalton Schultz out of Dallas is probably a next tier down. Dawson Knox? Second tier? I'm trying to think of who else would I put on this list? Mike Gesicki's available from Miami. He's the dude who can't do the gritty despite his best efforts week in, week out. He's a good but not great pass-catching tight end. He's out there. I'd say Zach Ertz is probably on that next tier right now. Dallas Goedert is on that list. Good call, Marcus. I don't know, man. Grabbing a top-tier elite tight end, I think, is the right move. It's a massive move. And Hayden Hurst knocks on the door of elite tight end, right? I don't know if he gets in, but he knocks on the door. That's massive for the Cats. Give me a guy for CJ who can sit down in the middle of the field and demand defenses pay attention to him and open up the outside for him. I love that signing. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Hour number three is next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.